My devotion time has been kind of, whenever I get to this time of the year, I'm in the prophets, you know, and I love the prophets, but sometimes you hit stretches of reading the prophets that are just like one judgment after another, and you just kind of are going, oh, Lord, give me something fresh. You know, this nation's going down, and this nation's going down, and this nation's going down. And it's kind of hard sometimes to glean out something inspiring and positive from those continual chapters over and over and over again. And then I was reading, so I was really, in all of that I've been doing, I kind of have already a series for the beginning of the year, but I usually preach in series, and this whole year has been series-less. I usually will preach a book or a series, and I just haven't been able to get an inspiration for a direction of a series this year. And sometimes it's been hand-to-mouth. I mean, just kind of like, God, are you going to speak to me this week? And that's the way it was this week. Every day I was crying out to God, Lord, you know, give me something, you know. When you know you have to come and give a message every week, you know, there's a little bit of a pressure when you get to like Wednesday and you've got nothing, then you get to Thursday and you've got nothing, and you know you only have Friday. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's my last day. I mean, I'm down to Friday morning, and I'm in my devotions, and I'm crying out to God, okay, Lord, man, I tell you what, this is not a fun week. I mean, I have nothing. And Terry, you know what I'm talking about. I got nothing, and I'm people are going to expect something. Now, sure, I could go reach into my file and pull something out and re-preach it. That would be easy to do. I've got a big file. I have tons of stuff, but I don't like to do that, and I don't ever do that, really, unless it's something God tells me to speak again about. So I'm basically on my knees, although I'm sitting kicked back in my recliner chair. In my heart, I'm on my knees while I'm drinking my cup of coffee, and I'm crying out to God. I'm saying, God, you know, I mean, I've been in Ezekiel now for days, and I'm not, you know, I've got nothing. And then I got to Ezekiel chapter 37, and I got something. And I said, oh, I said, Lord, you know, are you trying to teach me dependence, you know, because I depend on you, you know, but I can we not do this right up to the wire all the time here lately? So I want you to open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. And I want to read the first six verses. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And everyone's heard it. How many of you heard a message on the bones? Yeah, I mean, this is a favorite chapter to preach on, and I've never preached on it. It's the first time. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and then you shall know that I am the Lord. So, Father, as we come to your word this morning, I want this to be a breath of anointed fresh air to my heart and to the hearts of all those who hear. I want you to speak words of life and words of wisdom. I want you to speak beyond my preparation into the very unique and desperate needs of each one present. And I want you to bring hope and life where there right now isn't any, and renewal where there's dryness. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever asked this question in your life? Will these areas in my life ever change? Have you ever asked that question? You look over your life, there's stuff in your life you like, there's stuff in your life you don't like. And there's trials you're going through, and some things just don't seem to be changing. And you look at that and you say, will these areas in my life ever change? And we feel guilty about even asking that question because as believers, we know these facts. And we're quick to quote them, and they're true. We know that all things are possible to those who believe. But when you're in a situation where you're asking that question, the last thing you want is for someone just to walk up to you and just look at you and say, you know, all things are possible to those who believe. That didn't really help. We also know, honestly, that God is able, and these are all truths, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. We know that. We know that God's arm is not shortened, meaning that there's nothing too difficult for God. I believe that. Do you believe that? I really believe that. And we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in light of knowing all of that, I still have areas of my life where I ask the question, will these things ever change? Am I the only one? What do these dry bones represent? Well, you could use this message to talk about a lot of different things, but can I just suggest to you this morning, from what I want to share with you, some things that these dry bones may represent in your life. They may represent unfulfilled dreams. Dreams that you've had in the Lord, or dreams that you've had in your life that you thought were right around the corner over and over again, only to be disappointed that they didn't come to pass. These dry bones may represent disappointments that follow on the heels of unfulfilled dreams. You know, your hopes built up and boom, pop. Built up, pop. They may represent areas of brokenness in your life. The things that you're hiding. We can learn how to put on the Christian smile and the Christian mask when we walk into church or when we go and we're amongst other Christians. Everything's, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. You know, praise God. When we're not, really. It can represent physical need. Many of us have experienced the healing power of God in dramatic ways, and at the same time, many of us are struggling with physical needs that are still yet to be completely healed. And they may represent estranged relationships, broken relationships in our family, broken relationships in our marriages, broken relationships between our children, broken relationships with our friends. All of those things, and you can add on to the list, but all of those things could represent the dry bones in our life. Where do I get that? Well, the nation of Israel also felt this way. Look with me at verse 11 in Ezekiel 37, where it says, "Then he said to me," God talking to Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed are saying, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.'" You see, Ezekiel had a unique position. Jeremiah had a different position. Jeremiah was left in Judah. Jeremiah was there when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and defeated and conquered Judah and Jerusalem. And he was there when they burned the temple. Ezekiel was taken out with the first group of captives. And Ezekiel was living with the first group of captives. And he was speaking to those who were already in captivity. While Jeremiah was in Jerusalem, Ezekiel was in Chaldea, in Babylon. From two different perspectives. And he was with those Jews who had already seen the nation fall, who already were seeing that destruction was on its way. And they said, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost. and were cut off. They knew they couldn't go back. They knew from Ezekiel's prophecies that total destruction was coming, and they were just like not in a very positive mood. And so God comes to Ezekiel. Can you imagine now? Now here Ezekiel is in captivity. Here he knows everything that's going to happen. And now he knows what the dry bones represent. And so he comes to Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel doesn't give him a Sunday school answer. You know what the Sunday school answer is? It's saying the thing you know that you're supposed to say in Christian speak. If Ezekiel was giving a Sunday school answer, Ezekiel would have said, all things are possible to those who believe. My God is able. God is greater. All the things that we say. But Ezekiel, standing there, an anointed prophet of God, looks upon all these dry bones. Here's what they represent. And then he kind of sheepishly looks back at God and he says, you know. Do you see that in the text? He says, oh God, you know. He's basically saying, I don't really know, but you know, tell me. That's a place of utter humility to come to in your life when you're emptied of everything. You've tried everything. You've exhausted everything. And you're left now at that place of just saying, oh God, you know. I don't. Now it gets really interesting. The title of this message is The Power of Partnership with God. Are you a partner with God? God comes to Ezekiel with something very unexpected. Now, he comes to somebody that's already kind of like as discouraged right now as Israel is. He doesn't know everything that's going to happen. Well, he knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't have any answers for God. He's kind of going, you know, God, you know, kind of tell me what's going on here, you know, all these dry bones. And God calls him to do something that's just unusual. He calls Ezekiel to speak over those dry bones. So the first point I want to make is, God's call to partnership, of calling you into partnership with him, is unexpected. He comes to you not when you're strong, not when you're riding on the crest of the wave and just going from victory to victory. He comes to you at your moment of need, and then he asks you to do something miraculous. You know, can you imagine? So he doesn't ask Ezekiel to stand by and watch the bones come to life. That would be kind of cool. He says, this is the way I would have wrote it. Okay, Ezekiel, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. Just stand here. I'm going to, like, okay, bones. The neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone. You know that? And they all start coming together. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. See, I'm going to do it. You just watch. That's what we tend to think in our lives, that things are just going to happen as we just watch God do them. But God doesn't do anything without you and me. Now, I don't understand that, dear ones. Let me tell you, I really don't understand that, and part of me doesn't like that. Because part of me would rather buy a ticket, sit in the grandstand, and watch God do it all, and just give him the glory and wave the flag. After all, he's God, I'm not. But God says, no, Kirk, I want to do something mighty in your life, but you need to partner with me. And I'm going, I need to what? No, I'm not going to do it alone. You're going to do it with me. Whew. So God calls Ezekiel to partner with him in bringing these dry bones to life. I can imagine being Ezekiel sitting there, okay. So Ezekiel is called to prophesy over the dry bones. The second part of partnership is first, unexpected. It's not the way I would do it. Think about going into business, and you're going to get a business partner who has no experience no skills, and no money. I mean, would you ever pick a business partner like that? No. You want someone who's going to be able to help invest in the company, help offer skills that will make the company profitable and successful. You're not going to just go, so I'm going to look for the most unqualified, broke, bankrupt person, both morally, spiritually, and physically I can find, and I'm going to make them my partner. And that's what God does. It doesn't make any sense. And then the partnership he comes to give us is always misunderstood by us. When he calls us into partnership with him, we come to a fork in the road. We now are faced at this why that we face, and we can go to the left or to the right. Let me explain that. Many people, when they begin to experience this dynamic call of partnership with God, they begin to think it's their work. And they actually think they're bringing something to the table. And let me kind of just make that a little more understandable. How many of you ever heard these scriptures? Let me read them to you. Mark 11:22-24. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." How many have heard that scripture before? Emphasis on you will have whatever you say. You see, I'm a partner with God. And so it's my speaking that does it. You see, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to bring it to pass. Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends. It's an old 60s song, for those of you who didn't know. It's kind of like, I'm going to speak, you know. How, you know, there's a time when that works, but there's a time when it doesn't. We're going to see the difference right here in a minute. I've done a lot of crazy charismatic things in my life. I'm going to speak that mountain into existence. It's still a patch of dirt, folks. It's still a patch of dirt. You see, the people who go to the left side of the, well, left or right, whatever side you want. I don't want to be political here. The people who go on one side of the fork and not the other are people who misunderstand their role as a partner. And they forget the balancing verse to "you shall have whatsoever you say." It's as if God gave us this key, and there is even books written about it, how to write your own ticket with God, books like that, that just kind of give you the idea that through faith you can just speak into existence whatever you need or want. They forget the important fact about Jesus. Let me read it to you. John 12:49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but my Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." Wow, that kind of changes everything. You see, it's not that we are called to partner with God and then begin to write our own ticket with God and tell God what to do through our speaking. It's that we need to be like Jesus and hear what God is telling us to say. And when we do what God tells us, then we see results. But when we just go off on our own, we will fail. So partnership is often misunderstood. Here's another fact I want to make this morning. We're not the senior partner. Folks, we are not the senior partner. We're called into this partnership, but only one partner holds the power. There's only one power holder in this whole relationship, and that's God. The Lord alone can heal. The Lord alone can bring life. The Lord alone can open doors and close doors. He said, "I open doors that no man can shut. I shut doors that no man can open." That is Jesus, not you. I think it's Psalm 75 says, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. And yet I think it's because of the things I do. It's not. It's because of what he does in and through me. We are simply called to proclaim his word and watch him act. Listen to verses 4 and 6 again from Ezekiel 37. This is what God tells Ezekiel to do. He said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them. Notice he didn't say, okay, Ezekiel, I want those bones to live, so I want you to tell them what to do. He didn't give Ezekiel carte blanche to just go and direct the traffic. He said, here's what I want you to do, Ezekiel. You say exactly this. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of Ezekiel. Did I read it wrong? Yeah. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I, the Lord, will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I, the Lord, will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. There's only one senior partner, brothers and sisters, and that's God Almighty. We are limited partners, but here's the beauty of being a limited partner with God. We are limited partners, but we are full recipients of his blessings and his grace. I'm going to go into business with Doug. I got nothing. I got no skills. I got no money. I got no talent. I got no hair. Yeah. And so we're going into a toupee business together. Yeah. And so I come into it, and Doug has designed it. Doug has funded it. Doug has done everything, and I'm just there. I don't even know really what I'm doing, but when the first royalty check or bonus checks come in and the profit is calculated, he says, here, and he gives me 50% of it. He equally shares with me. I become a full. What's that?
I want part of it.
You do? Okay, brother. You're in. We make them for everyone, even those with hair already. It's kind of like those kind of things you kind of tie in, you know what the girls do? Only we do it for men. It's a good product. We become full partners with God in the sense of sharing in the blessings and the glory, and he lets us just enter into all of it. Ezekiel was called to speak. We're called to speak. The word he was called to speak is the word of the Lord. We have the word of the Lord. I love this. Ezekiel was directed where to speak these words. We're directed where to speak the word. Ezekiel was not commanded to address the bones in his name. He was commanded to address the bones in the name of the Lord, and we've been given the name of the Lord. Ezekiel was called only to speak what was clearly revealed to him by the Lord and no more. The glory was always intended, even though he shares it with us, the final glory is always intended to go to God alone. And have you seen, if you just look over the whole spectrum of Christianity, how those who are getting the glory have gone off on the wrong side of the road? The next point is that we'll be amazed at the power of partnership with God. When Ezekiel obeyed the Lord, something wonderful happened. Something supernatural happened. Something very unexpected happened. Listen to it. It says, I prophesied as I was commanded. I mean, I believe Ezekiel's writing this like, this is blowing my mind. I did just what he told me to do. I prophesied. And then there was a noise. Suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together. Bone to bone, indeed. As I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. The skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded. Breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. And an exceeding great army stood before me. When Ezekiel just did what God called him to do, where there was no hope, hope was restored. Where there was no life, life was restored. Where there was brokenness, wholeness appeared. And how did it happen? Did Ezekiel run around into the field of bones and start connecting them together, wrapping them with sinew, covering them with flesh? Did he get in the midst of it? No, he simply, we sing that song, Eddie, say the word and I will be healed. You know, just speak the word, just say the word. He simply spoke the word of God as he was directed. He obeyed the Lord. He prophesied as God told him in the name of the Lord, and miraculous things happen. Worship team, come on up. Here's the conclusion. Here's what I want to show you in this. How true is this principle in our lives? Do you know that you and I, as believers, were never called to work miracles in our own life and in our own strength and in our own ability? Somehow we think that if we're really moving in the power of God, we'll just be able to go and just start healing people and doing all this kind of stuff. And, you know, like we'll just be just like these powerhouses of miracle workers all over the place. No, he didn't call us to do that in our own power and strength. Can you experience that through your life? Definitely you can, but not if you try to do it in your own strength. We're called to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means that we're called to introduce people to the king and his kingdom, to Jesus, and to the one who heals, the one who saves, the one who restores, the one who has defeated sin and death. I like what Amy Semple McPherson said one time. She said, I can't heal anybody. All I do is open the door and invite them to come and meet Jesus, the healer. That's all we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. When we simply obey him and follow him, when we do what God has called us to do, we find God in his own timing and in his own way takes that which is dead and brings it to life. And we see that it's completely his work and it's his power, and he just gives us the privilege and joy of partnering with him by grace through faith. Now, the final point I want to make is that this power is not released in a confession, as many teach. That almost becomes New Age. That if you confess this and you say this over and over again, that these things will come to pass. It's not released in a confession. It's released through a proclamation. Let me show you what I mean. The power of God is released in our lives when we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and obey his command to make disciples. Have you ever wondered why missionaries come and tell great stories of miracles that we're not seeing in the church in America? We see a spattering of them, but we don't see them like they see them in Brazil and in other areas where the Holy Spirit's moving in dramatic power. Do you ever wonder why? Anybody else? Because God took this miracle-working power and he wrapped it up in the Great Commission. When he stood before his disciples, he said, listen, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He took all of his authority, he took all of his power, and he wrapped it up in the Great Commission. When we're fulfilling the Great Commission, there will be signs of miracles and power that follow. When we draw inward and stop fulfilling the Great Commission, we will see only a spattering of manifestations of the power of God in our lives. Well, Kirk, I mean, how can you say that? Well, listen to the word of God. Romans 1:16, verses 16 to 17 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice, the gospel is the power of God. For in it, The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then Mark 16, verse 20. And they went out and they preached everywhere. What were they doing? They were making the proclamation of the kingdom of God everywhere while the Lord worked with them. What is that, folks? That's partnership. Do you see it? It's partnership, divine partnership. They went out and proclaimed the kingdom, prophesied to these bones, Ezekiel, say in the name of the Lord. They went out and they proclaimed the kingdom of God. And this is what it said. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying what? Signs. Did you ever read in the book of Acts and wonder why in the beginning of the book of Acts there was this huge onslaught of miracles, and by the end of the book of Acts they were just like popcorn beginning to pop or stopping to pop? They were just like us. They were just like us. They forgot that God wrapped his authority and power in the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. So I asked myself this. What would happen if I re-engaged my life? And this doesn't mean that everyone becomes an evangelist, everybody becomes a pastor. But what would happen if I re-engaged my life back into the passion of the heart of God, which is reaching everyone in this nation for Jesus Christ, in telling everyone about Jesus Christ, in proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom? The Bible doesn't say, go ye into all the world and have worship retreats. Go ye into all the world and have healing conferences. Go ye into all the world and have church meetings. Go ye into all the world and have fall festivals. Go ye into all the world and do this. Go ye into all the world and do that. It says, go ye into all the world and make disciples, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We live in an age where our nation is a valley of dry bones. And most churches are a valley of dry bones. And God's looking for a people who will partner with him and stand up in the midst of this dying situation and begin to prophesy over those dead bones. Let's stand. In the
I fall down upon my face before you. Open up my heart for you to see. Find the things in me, Lord, that need changing. Make my life what you need it to be. In the hands of God I found the life I searched for oh so long. Takes away my fears and gives me peace. In the hands of God I found the strength I need to carry on. Fills me with this love and sets me free. Fills me with this love and sets me
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your hearts with me. Lord, the joy of a newborn baby. Nothing quite changes the whole course and direction of a family than that gift of life. For those of us who are parents who have children that have grown up, we look back toward that day. And for those who are grandparents who are celebrating those new gifts that are coming into their lives, we relive that day. But there's nothing in the midst of a family, whether it's an immediate family or a church family, that gives us more joy, that gives us more purpose, that gives us more direction than to see the eyes of a small child filled with such pure love and hope and just an empty and hungry heart just wanting to be filled with goodness and grace and mercy. It'll make us put that vacation off because we're more interested in investing in that child. It'll make us redirect our plans for retirement because we want to fund that college education. It will make us think about our jobs and our future and where we live because everything is redirected toward that new life and that new gift. And Lord, if that's true in our physical, how even more true is it in the spiritual when your children, the body of Christ, becomes a dynamic partner with you in what your heart is. You said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. I came to seek, and I came to save the lost. I came to give my life as a ransom so that those who are broken could be healed, so that those who are bound and captive could be set free, so that those who are blind could be made to see, so that those who had lost all hope of living could hear these words, it is now in your life the acceptable year of the Lord, and they could be restored back to their original purpose and intent in God's creative heart. All of your power and all of your glory is wrapped in this thing we call the Great Commission. It's what we're called to do. It's who we're called to be. It's how this Foursquare family started. It's what releases the very heart, love, and power of God in our lives and in the lives of our world. Lord, give us understanding of the privilege and the power of partnership with you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Just as I and now to glory.
Jesus was standing here this morning, physically here, and he said, I'm looking for partners. Let me borrow this just for a moment. And he says, I'm looking for partners, and I only accept these people. I want the broken and the desperate. I'm looking for the guilty, the wounded, and the empty. And I want to call you into partnership with me because I want to do something wonderful through your life. And here's the other thing. I just want you just like you are. You don't need to be like that guy over there or that gal over there. You don't need to be a preacher, an evangelist. You don't need to be an extrovert or an introvert. You just be who you are, just as you are, just like you are. I created you just that way because you have the ability to do what I want to do through you like no one else. If he was standing here right now this morning, how many of you would say, I'm in? You know, I'm in. If I can just come just as I am. If I can just, you know, he'll take me just the way I am. And I don't have to become a different person. I'm an introvert, folks. I am. Oh, people shake. Yeah, you shake your head. No, that's what people don't understand. Put me out in the marketplace and I am just scared to death. Put me in front of 5,000 people and I won't break a sweat if I have a function. Put me in a room of 50 people without a function and I want to crawl into a corner. God knows it about me. I'm not this bold dude that's going out into Walmart and saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You need to meet Jesus right here, right now. Come on, aisle 32, let's pray. I never did that in my life, and I probably never will. I mean, God doesn't expect me to do that. To be his partner, I don't have to become something I'm not. I can just be Kirk.
Yes, amen.
You can just be Zek, looking sharp. You can just be that guy. You can just be Kai. You can be James. You can just be Red. Yourself. You can reach people I can never reach. I can't do that and look good. I'd look dumb doing that. But when you do it, it excites my spirit and I get filled with joy. Lord, help us. This morning, help us to hear your voice. You're calling us just as we are to enter into the adventure of a lifetime, to be a partner with a living God. We get to speak words of life into situations that are dead. We get to bring hope to the hopeless, love to the loveless, comfort to those in need. We get to be Jesus in their life as we speak his word and as we then point the way to him, giving him all the glory. If you're here this morning, altar prayer team members, come forward. There's going to be some people who just really need ministry this morning. I sense it. And if that's one of you, then you need to come. And if they're praying for somebody, you just sit down and wait your turn. But listen, if there's anyone here this morning and you have never taken the first step of the adventure of your life, which is making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the center of everything. He's calling you into partnership with him. He's paid the price. He gives the gift. And all he asks you to do is come and receive. So as I bless you and dismiss, if you need to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, come. If you need prayer for healing or encouragement, come. If you just want to come and kneel at the altar for a period of time, come. But come just as you are. Come just as you are. Now, Lord, Will you bless and keep your people this week? Will you make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them? Will you lift up your countenance upon them and grant them your peace? Will you reveal yourself in their life in a new and fresh way? I pray in Jesus' name. One more time, just sing it. I come, I come. Wherever it starts, empty, whatever, you pick it up, Eddie.
I'm broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms. Praise God, just as I am. Just as I am.
Just as you are. Take a moment to meet somebody you may not know on your way out. You can stay and pray, or you're dismissed. Be blessed in the Lord this week. Thank you for being with us.